This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Coonan. We'll have an update from Sierra Doctor as well. The Biden administration plans to release more oil from the strategic oil reserves. The sale will total 15 million barrels from the 180 million authorized for sale back in March. This follows the decision made by OPEC plus countries to cut oil production by 2 million barrels per day.
The Mississippi River water levels have dropped significantly due to lack of rain, which is hindering grain movement by barge. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
The difficulty moving grain by barge is driving up shipment prices with river water levels extremely low. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Daniel Munch says shipment rates have increased over 2,000%.
The latest data point is still from last week. And barge rates are kind of interesting because they're basically reported at a percentage increase from sort of a set rate. So when we look at, you know, how are barge rates reported, they're reported in percentages. So, you know, say 100%, that means it's 100% over what the underlying rate is. So most recently, last week, average barge rates for downbound barge movement, so going south on the Mississippi River, across an average of seven different locations, was up 2,032%, which is the highest increase on record.
Transportation issues have caused farmers to rely more on storage to prevent hikes in expenses.
But there's going to be a lot of focus on on-farm storage. I mean, there's already been a sort of shift in narrative over the past few years towards, all right, how can we better buffer against transportation issues, right? We've seen issues in the rail market that I've been tracking over the past few years. And it's really said, hey, well, you know, if I'm not going to be able to get my product to where it needs to go quickly, then I need a place to store it so, you know, it doesn't rot out in the field so I can harvest it and retain that value in the grain. So there's definitely, you know, an interest in some programs that support on-farm storage or farmers investing in on-farm storage. Obviously, that's a very expensive undertaking.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The low water levels on the lower Mississippi is delaying soybean shipments to China. Ships carrying 3 million tons of soybeans were scheduled to arrive in China this month and next, but those shipments are likely going to be delayed by another 15 to 20 days. Reuters is reporting Chinese buyers did not buy enough beans in the July to September time period due to high prices. The river shipping delays have amplified the tight supply situation in China. Cash soybean meal prices are at all-time record highs in three Chinese provinces, and local pork producers are looking for different feed options.
Talk of a possible rail strike also has the attention of the market. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek says talk of a rail strike is unwelcome news.
And it's not like our freight rail system was already operating at full throttle. We were, you know, hoping for this during this difficult time to see rail service actually improve, not take a step backward. A strike would obviously be a major step backward. And one of the things I really try to underscore is a railroad strike would halt economic activity, but even a threat of a railroad strike can halt economic activity.
Steenhoek would like our elected officials to step in and remove a possibility of a rail strike.
That's something that, you know, we're going to continue to impress to our elected officials, is that this is something that our economy does not need. This is something that agriculture does not need. You know, we want both parties, workers and the railroads, to try to come to an agreement. It may not be perfect for both sides, but something that's acceptable and it's beneficial for both sides. We're not picking a side on this. The side that we are picking, though, is those agricultural shippers and the broader economy that depend upon a functioning and improving rail sector. That's the side that we're taking, and so that's something that we really need to make sure that in the midst of all these negotiations, this threat of a strike is taken off the table.
Cash grain basis bids at the six regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, remain mostly unchanged since the 1st of October. Corn basis ranges from 35 to 60 cents under the December futures for nearby delivery. Soybean basis ranges from 20 to 55 under November. The spring wheat basis ranges from 50 to 90 cents under the December Minneapolis contract. Corn bids at the Northern Plains ethanol plants range from 15 to 55 cents under the December futures contract. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Bauer trading market analyst Ben Cash is closely watching river and rail transportation challenges.
One of the major issues along with that rain is we don't have enough rain. These waterways are extremely low. Basis levels have been pulled at most river ports or river commercial facilities and that. So the grain flow out of the U.S. is a concern, and I think that's what's adding to the weakness. Also, we're also dealing with a possible rail strike again, a rail shutdown. This negotiation still ongoing with those rail unions. I believe the short-term deal that they struck to extend it was just till November 19th, so that's upon us.
Cash says there are other concerns pressuring the grains.
You know, the weakness here today does have a little bit to do with the dollar as well. The dollar's back up 31, crude oil lower. So a lot of weakness, you know, just in commodities in general, while the stock market's actually higher. So that's kind of surprising to see that we're not seeing a little more support, but it definitely is a risk-off day for the commodity markets here.
Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossy says the market's looking at a lack of bullish news.
It's a little bit quieter trading season, I guess you could say, as far as like big news. We've got the weather to watch in South America, and there's a little bit more rain in the forecast for Argentina that maybe is, you know, pulling the soybean market down just a little bit. And Brazil's planting is going right on normal pace, so they're looking good there. So maybe it's okay to take a little bit off these markets here.
However, Bossy says supplies remain tight, and that should support the grains.
If we take too much off these markets and exports pick up, then our tight supplies get even tighter. So I think we'll still have very good support underneath this market. And maybe the market's just in a time frame where we got to go down to find out where that demand starts to kick in at what price.
The European Union is taking steps to impose an emergency cap on natural gas prices. Russia shut down the flow of gas from the Nord Stream pipeline late this summer, resulting in a sharp increase in prices. Natural gas is used as a raw material to produce nitrogen fertilizer, so any movement in natural gas prices will likely impact agriculture around the world.
BASF Central Region Tech Service Representative Daniel Mellis says weeds like kochia and water hemp proved to be some of the biggest wheat challenges this past year. Farmers can start planning weed control in the fall.
When growers are making decisions on weed control for next year, I mean, first of all, take a look at this year. As they were in the combine, taking a look at what weeds came through their weed control program, kind of assessing what they've got going on there, will probably give a pretty good prediction as to what's coming next year. My guess is with the weed pressure we had this fall, from what I've seen, I believe kochia and water hemp again will be probably two of our biggest problem areas that we've got. So making plans now, which definitely should include a residual type product, say like Zidu or Outlook, will really help reduce those weed populations early on.
Mellis's product shortages may have played a role in weed control this past year.
Oh, I believe, yeah, in 2022, the shortages of some of the products, especially glufosinate, played some role in that. Anybody in the E3 system, if they weren't able to access Liberty, can cause some issues as far as trying to keep, especially a product or a weed like kochia, cause some issues as far as not being able to take care of that in season.
USDA is providing assistance for distressed farm loan borrowers. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said this is for borrowers of direct or guaranteed loans from Farm Service Agency.
We're talking about roughly $1.3 billion of assistance from the $3.1 billion that was afforded by the Inflation Reduction Act. Roughly going to help somewhere between 34 and 35,000 borrowers get to a better place, provide them peace of mind, provide them some level of security and some assurance that they won't be faced with losing the farm.
National Farmers Union President Robert LaRue released a statement saying this is a step toward improving USDA's approach to ag lending.
The results are in from the National Wheat Yield Contest in the Dryland Spring Wheat Competition. Matthew Kruger of East Grand Forks received second place. New England, North Dakota farmer John Wirt was third. Jordan Christman of Hettinger is the highest yield percentage increase over the county average. Doug and Janelle Fitterer of New England, North Dakota have the highest percentage yield increase over the county average for dryland winter wheat. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. More than 16,000 farmers provided public comment on the proposed changes to the use of atrazine. In the comments, farmers said the Environmental Protection Agency is attempting to effectively end the use of atrazine. Farmers are calling on the agency to base their decisions on credible science.
Wilbur Ellis, District Sales Manager Chris Warham, said above average yields are being realized in the northern Red River Valley.
Early June, it was looking like potentially in eastern North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, we may be looking at 40, 50, 60% prevent plant in certain areas. Mother Nature cooperated that first couple of weeks of June, and here we are in a lot of cases, again, just harvesting, you know, exceptional yields and quality, and it's amazing, you know, how the summer progressed and how this crop turned out.
Warham, who's based in Grand Forks, feels this is a good opportunity to make decisions for next year.
Harvest time is always a great opportunity to really evaluate, you know, cropping plans, cropping intentions, you know, being mindful of rotations, keeping in mind maybe herbicides that were utilized and what that might mean from a rotational restriction. I think more specifically, you know, if Mother Nature again cooperates, taking advantage of some opportunity here in the fall to get some fall fertilizer applied, certainly takes that pressure off the spring.
While fertilizer has been in the headlines, Warham said there is enough inventory on hand to handle fall applications.
Groundbreaking ceremonies will be held this morning for the Grand Farm Innovation Center at Castleton, North Dakota. Red River Farm Network will provide coverage for that event.
A private investment firm, Pacific Avenue Capital Partners, has acquired Sunrich Sunflower and the Roasted Snack Division of SunOpta. Sunrich General Manager Kent Johnson will become the new CEO. The company is based in Crookston. As we check markets this morning, we are higher in the wheat trade, 4.5 better for Minneapolis wheat. The December contract priced at 960.5, March 3.75 higher. The Chicago wheat, 6.75 higher, 856. The Kansas City wheat, same contract, 7 higher. Dease corn, a 4 cent downward trend, right now at 677. March 682.75, down 4.25. We're down 11 cents for November soybeans, 1360 and three quarters. March soybeans, 1379. That's down by 11 cents as well. So we check in on the farm calendar. The SDSU Swine Education and Research Facility will be hosting Swine Day on November 1st, Tuesday, November 1st. That'll be held, of course, in Brookings. Speakers include Steve Meyer with Partners for Production Agriculture. They'll look at alternative feed ingredients coming out of South Dakota and get an update from Joe Cassidy, the South Dakota Corn Endowed Dean for Agricultural Food and Environmental Sciences. And the South Dakota Stock Growers Association will be meeting November 3rd through the 4th. They're going to be in Spearfish, South Dakota for their annual convention. Have yourself a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.